Hello, and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing today? Good. Glad to hear it. Again, another late show, but hopefully this will be the last one for a bit as we get to a regular schedule with most of the teams here, especially the Maryland Black Bears, who are coming off a afternoon showcase the past 2 weeks. We'll get to the Black Bears in a minute. We'll talk about Team Maryland. They had themselves a big week as well. Stevenson's men's team starts up this week, but some interesting news coming out of the D3 community. We'll talk about year two Maryland Black Bears alumni and also the players from Maryland. It'll be a good time for everybody. We'll get started as we are wont to do with the Maryland Black Bears, who had a Monday-Tuesday set again against the Maine Nordiques. Before that, have a couple of signings as Dimitri Kibru signed a tender for the Maryland Black Bears. He is part of Team Maryland's 18U AAA program. Got two games in this week. Also on Tuesday, even though he is not listed on the roster, Brendan Piku comes to the Maryland Black Bears after spending some time with the Powell River Kings. Piku, another Lake Superior State commit. He joins himself with Josh Nixon and Brian Huggins on this team. Piku also played two games with the Chippewa Steel, as he had no points in that one. We'll go to Lake Superior State in 22-23. The 18-year-old from Harrison Township, Michigan, 5'8", 154. When you look at Dimitri Kibru, he is an 0-3 out of Silver Spring, Maryland, a Howard Husky alum. And like I said, playing for the U18 AAA team, where he had 5 goals in 5 games, 10 goals in 10 games between two leagues, and 14 points out of 10 games. So offensive powerhouse comes out of Howard, the Howard Huskies program, like I said, in St. John's College High School, where he had last season 27 points in 10 games and 3 points in 2 playoff games as he makes the step up to the Maryland Black Bears. We'll see for how long, if this is just a trial period, but he did sign a tender, so he is Black Bears property for the time being. So we will see how much more ice time he gets as things move along here. But even adding to that, a couple more college commitments for the Maryland Black Bears. Defenseman Jack Hillman committed to the College of the Holy Cross this week, which is a pretty big deal. Another D1 commit for the Maryland Black Bears. 13, I think, by count. I'm trying to let me the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14. 14 commits now. D1 side of things. So Jack Hillman getting some getting in on that fun stuff. He's got a goal and 6 assists on the year. Also, Middlebury College getting a Maryland Black Bear, as Matthew Shanklin, kind of quietly under the radar, got himself a commitment as well for D3. That's out in Vermont, is Middlebury College. 4 assists this year for Shanklin. Has been a really good energy guy, great on the forecheck, and creating mucking it up in the neutral zone as well. So congrats to both to Matthew and also to Jack Hillman. So big gains there. The Black Bears then took on the Maine Nordiques after all was said and done with that. And on Monday, it was not great for anybody in the Black Bears organization, as the Maine Nordiques win 4-1 in a game where the Nordiques had control more often than they didn't. It got started with Luke Antonacci getting a pass out in front, gets some slot shot, and away he goes past Hans Colleen over there. Then 2 quick goals within a minute of each other in the second period. Aiden Conley, kind of on a broken play, gets one in, and then Tyler Gauden breaks in and goes backhand forehand, and away he goes. That made it 3-0. 12:38 into the third period, Paxton Schmidlin gets a puck right out to the circles, shoots off his back foot past Colleen, made it 4-0. Aiden Bruich in the dying minutes of the game, 2:15 left. He gets his third of the season. Great power move. Great upward pass from Dylan Finley and Philip Kornquist. They had the good thing going there towards the end, getting the puck up and out of the zone. Bruich makes a big power move going down the left side, just cutting across and then putting it home for his third of the year. But that's all she wrote on that one. Colleen with a 34-save effort in the losing cause. So not a great time there. A lot of rough stuff going on. Aiden Brewage getting 8 minutes in penalties. Majority of them roughing. Dylan Finley getting in on that as well. So a little bit of this was just game one. So a little bit of tensions being high. These two teams meeting each other kind of in succession. You can only imagine how it was with Maine taking on Northeast for all those many weeks. The Black Bears and Nordiques took on each other again on Tuesday, and another loss for the Black Bears as they get swept in this two-game set, 3-2 the score in this one. Again, two quick goals for Maine in the first period within 26 seconds of each other. Makem Demers, his fourth of the year, going hard in it, and then Isaiah Fox right after that, his 10th of the season, just breaking in and putting it home past Michael Morelli. Black Bears get one back early in the second, a short-handed goal as Luke Mountain gets a nice little pass up from Gaudette, a little short pass from Cam Gaudette, and he puts home his 13th of the season. Another short-handed goal for your Maryland Black Bears, and that's, you know, I think 10 goals on the season, I want to say. Shorthanded? Yes, it is. So 10 shorthanded goals on the season. Next closest is six with Kenai and Johnstown. So big gain shorthanded. Not something you really want to see, the team being shorthanded, but at least they're being able to convert on all of that. The second period went on, other than that, kind of back and forth. After that goal, Maryland really did put pressure on Maine, but could have anything to show for it. Then things turn around, and Maine kind of closes out that second period with a big push of their own. Third period, kind of even stalemate there, but then one transition leads to another. Luke Mountain goes ahead, you know, gets deflected in front, blocked, and then Maine goes the other way. James Philpott pits home his fifth to put the Nordiques ahead. Then Jude Curtis gets his seventh of the year with just about 6 minutes remaining from Aiden Brewich and Aiden McDowell. A nice little pass across from McDowell to Brewich. Brewich just taps along Curtis. Curtis puts it past Tyreek Outen, but it would not be enough as the Black Bears fall 3-2. Morelli, 33 saves in the loss for the Black Bears. Not a great time for the Black Bears here, especially when points are going to be at a premium as Maine now shifts into the top spot. And the Black Bears, 4-4-1-1. In their last 10, kind of a very even keel team, almost slowing down a little bit from their hot start. And you got to figure a lot of the game changes, a little delays here and there probably didn't help with the mindset. But again, you got to shake those cobwebs off and get going. Black Bears still sit in third place, 2 points up on the New Jersey Titans and a game in hand. And they will take on the Johnstown Tomahawks Friday and Saturday in Johnstown. A big matchup here. Johnstown 6 points ahead of the Black Bears. Black Bears, they can pull out a sweep here. They get a nice little closure on that. They'll be within one and also separate themselves from New Jersey and Northeast. Northeast actually playing the most games out of them all. And also, can't discount the Danbury hat tricks. They are down there. They have 15 points, but they've only played 13 games too. So they have 12 games in hand of the Maryland Black Bears. So the Black Bears really have to stay above the pace of the fourth place team, if nothing else, assuming that Danbury is going to keep on driving hard and keep collecting points after they had a big delay due to state regulations in Connecticut for COVID stuff. So we will see what happens this weekend. If I'm not mistaken, Johnny P said something about possibly heading up to Johnstown, heading up to Western Pennsylvania. Don't know if it's from free will or what, but he said he might be making a trip. I don't know. Stay tuned to the Face Off Hockey Show at FOHS Radio on Facebook and Twitter and also Instagram for more, because you best better believe Johnny P is going to make something happen because he is the captain. So got that going for him. Team Maryland had themselves quite the week, and before we even get started on the week that was with the Team Maryland, we have to give some daps and head taps to Mr. Hayden Cookston, one of the EHL's stars of the month for January. 15 points, including 5 goals and 10 assists, and a point in every game, 7 of them, for the month of January for Team Maryland. Five multi-point games of those seven. So a big ups to Cookston, who has been having a great year and been a nice shining light for these for this Team Maryland club. However, there was a tough row to hoe this weekend. Two tough losses against the Connecticut Rough Riders up there in Connecticut. 2-1 the final on Thursday. Rough Riders got out early, 2:44. Connor Sullivan on the power play. But then, after 12 minutes of play, 14:07, Denny Arkhipenko on the power play. Get one back on his own. Bobby Guyer and Connor Ball on the assist. But 41 seconds later, Connecticut goes back ahead as Trey DeLory, even strength, puts him up 2-1. Early in the second, Vince Maurice gets a power play goal. Power play clicking for Team Maryland on this one. Patrick Nowak and Michael McLiffy, he gets an assist on that, ties the game up at 2:07. But just before 7 minute mark of the game of the period, Dallas DeMeo, even strength goal, puts Connecticut ahead, and that would be it. That would be the last goal scoring of the game. Oliver Quinn, 25 saves in the losing effort, as Team Maryland drops a tough one. And it wasn't any better on Friday. Another tough loss for Team Maryland, as they were ahead. They were ahead in this one by two. We'll start off 7 minutes in. Braden Piper for Connecticut, he gets a even strength goal, puts him ahead 1-0. 10 minutes after that, just before the 2 minute mark, Connor Ball even strength from Justin Gusso, 1-1. Then Team Maryland pretty much controlled the play in the first half of the second period. Eric Stroh's even strength from Malik Lansdowne, 3:13 in, and then Gusso, an even strength goal of his own from Nowak and Kyle Peters, putting them up 3-1, but Connecticut will not go gently into that good night. 1:03 left in the period. Colin Bello on the power play, and then a power play goal by Connor Sullivan with only 1:21 remaining in the third to tie the game. Overtime saw nothing. We went to shootouts as Connor Sullivan and Anthony Tavares made their shots for the Rough Riders. Roy Gresham made his shot for Team Maryland. If you do the math, that's 2-1, and that's how it ended. Oliver Quinn, 27 saves. Bobby McCloskey, 10 saves in a split effort. I don't see where that split happened. I want to say probably after maybe the second period. I'm not entirely sure. Doesn't have any notes here or details on that one, and I didn't check the VOD, so that's on me. And actually, it looks like as I click the play-by-play, Quinn goes in the first period after a possible injury to McCloskey. It looks like after he took a shot, he went down, and then McCloskey goes out, Quinn goes in. So there is that one, but Maryland gets it back. Team Maryland gets it back as they go to Pro Tech, and they give it to the Pro Tech Junior Ducks. 4-2, the final on this one. Big shots by Pro Tech, but Team Maryland just that better. Denny Arkhipenko gets the goal, scoring tough bounce off the boards. Evan Donnelly finds Arkhipenko for his goal. I believe it's the 14th of the season for Arkhipenko. Bobby Guyer on the assist on that one. Pro Tech gets one back early in the second. Christos Kaminas gets a goal on the even strength, but less than a minute later, Evan Donnelly puts Team Maryland right back in the lead from Arkhipenko and Guyer, and then Patrick Nowak from Kyle Peters and Christian Kapani makes it 3-1 going into the break, and then Tyler Ebbing gets gets himself an even strength goal, puts the Pro Tech Ducks within one with 2:40 remaining, but Team Maryland seals the deal. Roy Gresham on the empty net shorthander, 1:04. That's all she wrote. Oliver Quinn, 40 saves in the winning effort. Quinn has been a great addition to this Team Maryland team. McCloskey for the early part, just getting a little shell there, and then Oliver Quinn comes down, settles in that goaltending just a little bit more, and Team Maryland kind of settling in right now. And it's good for Team Maryland as they sit right now second place in the South Division, 1 point ahead of the Philadelphia Little Flyers, who they will face this coming weekend. Friday at New Jersey, Monday at Philadelphia, the game times for Team Maryland. Catch all the action on Hockey TV. Severson men's team, they will get started this weekend. They will get their 12-game slate started with a home-and-home against Chatham University as the men are rip-roaring ready to go. However, there is one downside to all of this as Division III Winter Sports Championships have been canceled. It was a went to a vote of member schools, and there was a threshold they had to that there had to be agree upon for all of the teams to go ahead, and none of the boxes ticked. None of the boxes at all ticked for any of the Division III sports. I think the closest was maybe women's hockey was 51-49, but they had to get to a 70% thing. So tough deal. Low participation numbers for member schools was one of the big things the NCAA has put out. So for a second straight year, no championships at all. So kind of rough. Kind of rough overall. Sorry, wrestling was one. Wrestling was the highest one at 61.8%, but they had to hit the 70% threshold in order to get things going. So tough one. Now you got to play for conference championships. Hope for the best in all of this. So we will see how this all pans out for Stevenson, but you got to figure they're going to be going hard regardless. Try to get a perfect season for themselves. Get something going into next year for their possible return to the National Limelight in Division III. Let's go to the alumni portion of the Black Bears situation. Last week we did year one, and we'll do a couple notables from year two overall. And one who just had a move this week, Braden Stannard, one of the top rookies last year. He was traded to the Youngstown Phantom, so he's back in the Black Bear Sports Group familia after playing for Green Bay. Only 3 assists in 13 games, so now we will see what he can do with Youngstown back in a little bit of a familiar situation overall. Hampus Rydquist, who was pulled last year or had a great season last year, one of the top scoring defensemen in the East Division and the league, gets to Miami University in a very big rebuilding season for Miami and the Red Hawks, but he has got 2 goals and an assist in 19 games. Playing some pretty key minutes there for Miami University. And, of course, as a freshman on a rebuilding team, he's going to be one of the cornerstones to try to get this team back to NCHC and NCAA prominence to the national stage. Cooper Black played a couple games up in Omaha with the Lancers in the USHL, was let go, and now is playing for the Odessa Jackalopes. 1-3-1 so far in his 5 games there with a .281 goals against and a .911 save percentage. And we talk about the other goalie all the time, Andrew Takis and Aaron Randazzo. So we'll talk about them because they're Marylanders. So that helps a lot too. Jackson Starrett, the top scorer last year in the single season goal scoring record for the Maryland Black Bears. No games yet, as of yet, played for Mr. Starrett at UMass Lowell. But you got to figure freshmen working their way in and out the way Hockey East has been. Got into a couple of exhibition games, but nothing on UMass Lowell's website that has him in any official games as of yet. Cameron Recchi, he had 0 points in 7 games with the Salmon Arm Silverbacks, but the BCHL has been on hold, and it'll continue to be on hold for the time being. So we will not know what's going to happen with Recchi going forward. Jack Smiley playing for Endicott College. He is waiting for his season to start, while Aaron Swanson has had 1 game with the University of St. Thomas. 0 points in that 1 game. They're D3 this year. They'll be D1 next year. So Swanson will get to that D1 bump and get at least a year of college under his belt for that one. Ethan Heideprin is playing for the Chippewa Steel. A goal and assist in 10 games up there. Wilmer Skoog playing for Boston University. 2 goals, 2 assists in 6 games. Is Boston University trying to get their games back up as they had a little delay there as much of Hockey East. Now, Mikhail Gonchar is playing in the Junior League over in Russia for Magnitogorsk. He has 3 goals and 6 assists in 16 games and also is a property of Magnitogorsk Metallurg. And so he will possibly be in the KHL. Could he possibly be the first former Black Bear to be a pro player? We will have to see about that. Brian Sinclair is playing for the OCN Blizzard, or has been playing after he was traded earlier this year. And he has 1 assist in 1 game in the NJHL. Manitoba paused for the time being as well. Logan Kittleson, who was also shuffled around that same day, is playing for St. Cloud, a goal and an assist in 12 games with the Norsemen. And finally, Philip Jacobson over in Sweden for Segeltorps IF, and possibly next year going to SUNY Canton for D3. But with SUNY and the state schools getting rid of not playing any sports at all in the winter, went back home, and he's having himself a time. 5 goals, 22 assists in 31 games for Segeltorp. So that's a junior league for the Swedish area. I think he had 1 more year left or 2 more years, but good to see him prosper. Maybe he'll come over stateside next season for some college hockey. So we'll have to take a look at that. But those are some guys notable. Again, if you have any notable names you want to catch, want me to catch up on, at Chesapeake HW Pod on Twitter. And that's also the Facebook, too, if you want to message me on there. Now let's get to some players from the Maryland area. And we'll start off with Lacey Eden, as this has become a Lacey Eden fan podcast, as she was on fire again this weekend. Wisconsin took on Minnesota, 2 assists on Friday night, and a big comeback victory for the Wisconsin Badgers in that one. So adding to that, three goals, 3 assists in 6 games, I think it is, 5 games. So she is turning on the Jets there. Sam Annis finally gets in the, on the action as the Utica Comets start up their season. 2 assists on Friday night, nothing on Saturday night as the Comets played the Syracuse Crunch. I think they got they won if they split that weekend overall. Patrick Giles, a goal and assist on Tuesday and an assist on Friday, making things happen for the Boston College Golden Eagles. Jason O'Neill, a goal and assist on Sunday for Providence, even though they dropped one to Merrimack College. The goaltenders, Aaron Randazzo, Annapolis native, 0-2-0. Not a great weekend for him in Green Bay. 792 save percentage this weekend and a 594 goals against. Andrew Takas for Amarillo won his start this week. 959 save percentage, 185 goals against in that one game. So good on him to get going. And finally, one update from Matt McCardell. He is no longer playing. The former he played at, I want to say he played at Lake Superior State, and then he played at Merrimack College as a graduate transfer. And they signed him in Norfolk for the Admirals. He played a couple of games there, but he has dropped from that and now is currently a business funding expert for PayPal in the Maryland area. So there's that. So congratulations to him on moving forward with his career. Sorry, in Pennsylvania. Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. How about that? So he is no longer in the hockey game. He is now moving on with his life. So shout out to him to get that business degree and get himself going on that one. So that's it. That's all I've got for you people. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, we'll talk again next week. We'll back on a regular schedule, back on a Tuesday release date for you guys as the Maryland Black Bears play Friday, Saturday, and yeah, Team Maryland playing Friday and Monday. So we'll get that. And they also have a Tuesday game too, but we'll kind of backlog that as well. So, and Stevenson also starting up this weekend too. So we'll have a lot to talk about in terms of games, and we'll preview, talk a little bit about the women's team too. Stevenson is, they start up the week after. So yeah. And the Maryland team, the Maryland College Park team has gotten themselves a nice little New Jersey set up for whenever they start playing again. As of right now, not a lot of teams playing club-wise. Navy's D2 team has said that they are going to, they're waiting to see what's happening as restrictions are happening. The whole situation with them, they're hoping to play West Point Army's club team. We will see how that goes. Towson's women have already said that they are not going to be playing this year. Got to figure that Loyola and Maryland's women's are going to be on the same wavelength as well as Navy's. So club team's taking a little bit of a hit here as well. So we will have to see where all this goes, and stay tuned here if you guys want to hear more of that stuff and what happens there. But that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Watts. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. You can catch us on all the podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Tune in. Streaker? Nope, that was the Super Bowl. Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all the places. Just give us a like, give us a listen, and we'll move on from there. Again, all the socials, Chesapeake HW Pod on Twitter and Facebook. And then, yeah, that's all. I think that's all I got. Yeah, that's all I got. You guys have a lovely week. Play that Clutch and Crab hockey wherever you are, and we'll see you next week. Peace.